We will never fully understand the Christian life until we first understand grace. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell helps us understand not just what grace is, but how to experience it.
Daniel was a man who, even though he was distinctively godly, he keeps getting promotions. People notice him. Don't let the devil tell you you have to always go out and get drunk with the other guys in order to get a promotion. You know how to get a promotion? Please, God. God knows your address.
Life is full of opportunities to make mistakes, occasions to feel guilty, and the pressure to be self-sufficient. But this isn't how God intended the Christian life to be. In our series, Portraits of Grace, we will discover what it means to receive a second chance from the Lord. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Today, we will learn more about Bible characters who were portraits of God's amazing grace. No matter your circumstance, God's sustaining grace will help you when you need it the most. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Grace to Stand.
Well, oftentimes in life, you really don't know how someone's doing in this matter of growing in grace until they go through a hard time in their life. Let me say that again. Oftentimes, we do not know where we are spiritually until we are mistreated. Okay. So, in other words, if everyone's treating you fine and your wife's got breakfast ready and she tells you you look great and the boss tells you you did a good job, you get a bonus, the teenagers say, "Oh, Father, thank you for being my father." As long as life's going like that, everything's good. But when you're mistreated, that's when you really find out how you're doing in your spiritual life. Now, today we're going to look at a man named Daniel who really did everything right, and yet he was still mistreated. And we're going to see how he responded and how he was obedient to God even when he was mistreated. Now, many of you know the story of Daniel, but let me give the backdrop for those who maybe haven't looked at it lately. Daniel, as a child, lived in the southern kingdom of Judah. He lived in the city of Jerusalem. He was no doubt raised by very godly parents who taught him how to pray, who taught him what to wear, who taught him how to eat. I mean, they really disciplined their child, Daniel. But sin came into Judah and into Israel. And because of that, the children of Israel, the children of Judah, were carried into captivity, specifically from Judah. The Bible tells us that because of their sin, they were taken away to a foreign country called Babylon. And it was there in modern-day Iran where this man Daniel had to grow up. There were three deportations. There was one in 605 BC, where, somewhat like the communist philosophy of old, they took a number of young people from Judah, young men, educated men, handsome men, and they took these men and they took them away to Babylon to train them in the ways of the Babylonians so that they could lead the other from Judah who were going to come. The second deportation was in 597 BC, and the third and the largest was in 586 BC. That's when Jerusalem was ransacked, and all of those were brought from Jerusalem over to Babylon, and there they were, Jews in the captivity of a pagan culture all around them, suffering the indignities of their slavery. Daniel was totally immersed in the Babylonian culture, language, and the ways of government, except we learned that while he was surrounded by it, immersed in it, there were certain parts of this culture that he refused to be a part of. And I want you to look in your notes or look in your Bible, and I want every teenager and every 20 and 21 and 22-year-old to look at this verse. Daniel 1:8 tells us something that you need and we all need very much. It says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat." Now, I want you to read that with me, all of us together. Ready, begin. "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat." Now, you say, what's the big deal about this? Well, it was more than just the diet. It was the entire culture and customs of the Babylonians. It involved their worship. It involved their styles and their music. It involved their morals. It was as if to say that Daniel was surrounded by an ungodly culture, but he determined in his heart, he purposed in his heart, I'm not going to defile myself with their diet, with their religion, with their ways. I am a child of God. Now, in case you haven't noticed it lately, we live in an ungodly culture. We live in a profane culture. How many of you heard a few choice words this week at work? Come on, help me out, folks. Are there people out there? Let's try. Do you live in the same world I live in? How many of you worked this week? Let's start right there, all right? Okay, good. How many of you deputies worked this week? I'm not talking about the profane words from the guys behind bars. I'm talking about the guys you work with. All right, that's the guys I'm talking about, right? Now let's try that again. How many of you heard some profane words this week? Let's see. See, here's the deal. You hear them so much, you don't even see them sometimes as profane anymore. How many of you, there was some stuff that came screaming across a television screen or across a computer, and God's word would define that as immoral or profane? How many of you know what I'm talking about? And you have to turn it off or switch it off, right? And we can think of so many things. The hatred and the violence that we saw in the news yesterday because of the sin of racism. And on and on. We live in a culture that is absolutely against God, a culture that is falling apart. And if you are going to have a testimony in this culture, then you have to be like Daniel, teenagers, and you have to purpose in your heart. The other girls may dress that way, but I'm not going to. And the other boys, they may say those bad words, but I'm not going to. And they may say that you have to drink to be accepted in this company, but I'm just not going to do that. It's okay if I use illustrations like that, right? Just trying to help out here, you know, just to get our thinking going. Okay. Say, well, you can't advance in the Air Force if you don't get drunk at the officers' club. No. You have got to determine that you are not going to defile your testimony in order to please this world. Now, those are the kinds of decisions you have to make every single day. And Daniel had to make them too as a young man from Judah, from Jerusalem, in Babylon. He just purposed, I'm not going to defile myself with this. You know, the men and women who have changed the world are the men and women the world could not change. And the world's changing lots of young people. And we listen to them and they say, well, you know, I just don't want to go to church. And they go through all these little things. You know what I say to that? Boring. Because that's what all the little rebellious kids say now. If you want to be different, then do this. I will not defile myself with this world. Right? That's what Daniel did. Daniel didn't try to go along with the event of the month club or the change of the week club. Daniel purposed to be what God wanted him to be. And Daniel, the Bible says in Daniel 1:20, in all matters of wisdom and understanding was sharp. The king inquired of him, and he found Daniel to be 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers in his realm. So Daniel was a man who, even though he was distinctively godly, he keeps getting promotions. People notice him. Don't let the devil tell you you have to always go out and get drunk with the other guys in order to get a promotion. You know how to get a promotion? Please God. God knows your address. God's going to take care of you. And if he doesn't want you to have it just yet, then just wait on the Lord. He knows when. In fact, Daniel was a man like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember that? When King Nebuchadnezzar made this huge area called the Plain of Dura, he brought all the people to the Plain of Dura, and he said, I want all of you on this field here to bow down to me. I want you to bow down to me. He made this idol of himself. And remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Like Daniel, they purposed, hey, we're not going to bow down to this idol. And again, your idol might be some kind of a concert. It might be some kind of a guy at work that wants you to try something or some kind of a temptation that comes your way of lust. And the devil in the world says, bow down to this. And this man, Nebuchadnezzar, literally makes a statue of himself and says, bow down. Remember this story, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, we're not bowing down. And if you throw us into the fiery furnace, our God will deliver us. And if he doesn't deliver us, we're still going to stand for our God. You remember that story, the three Hebrew children? Remember what Nebuchadnezzar said? He looked into the fiery furnace and he said, I see one in there like the Son of God. Good guess, Nebuchadnezzar. That's who it was. Because you know what? The Bible says that he will never leave us or forsake us. Now, I'm just trying to tell you, Daniel and his friends were real Christians, to use our vernacular. These were not, hey, how can we blend in and kind of, you know, be cool like the world, you know, and how can we look like the world and say a few choice words like the world, you know, and we'll go to church, amen, pastor. But then on Monday, you know, we're going to be, you know, doing our thing. It wasn't like that with Daniel. Daniel purposed in him, in his heart, to take a stand for the Lord. So now we come to chapter 6, please. In chapter 6 in verse 3, we get this great saying. Then this Daniel was preferred among the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. I don't think Daniel had the attitude like, look at me, I don't party, I'm great. I don't think that was his attitude. I just think he had a life that spoke for itself. And because of that, he got noticed. And because of that, he is now in command of all of the treasury of Babylon, the largest kingdom in the world at that time. The law of the Medes and the Persians. He had control of a great amount of wealth and industry. And now, after 65 years since the time he was originally deported, he's probably around 80 years old or so at this time. He's in this position. And how many of you think, you know, good night, I'm 60 years old. I mean, you still have to have temptation and trials when you're old. How many of you have noticed they keep coming no matter how old you get? I mean, here he's 80 years old and these guys go, we're sick of Daniel. They didn't like his testimony. They were jealous of him. And so if you're taking notes, I want you to see an evil declaration. The Bible tells us about this evil declaration in verse number 4. The presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Every one of us is going to have some of these difficult times. Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, a smooth sea never made a skilled sailor. Sometimes you're going to have rough seas so that you learn how to trust in the Lord. And we see here that this declaration involves an ungodly trial, because in verse 4, the Bible says that they sought to find occasion. In today's vernacular, it simply means they wanted to make up a story against him. They wanted to slander him. This is something that could happen to you. Someone who just doesn't like the fact that you're a Christ follower. And they're going to try to make up some story at work to make you look bad. I've had to deal with that with some of our church members. After all, if you read the book of Acts, there was an occasion when they said of the Apostle Paul, he is a troublemaker. He is a chief leader of these people called the Way. And they said, he's a pestilent fellow. Because he kept talking about Jesus and it made them uneasy around them. Did you know that in today's society, if you intend to live for the Lord, there will be some people who think that you are the problem? Are you with me this morning? So in other words, Daniel's testimony made people feel uncomfortable. You say, well, no one ever feels really uncomfortable about me. Maybe you're laughing at the wrong jokes or telling the wrong jokes. But Daniel wasn't that kind of a guy. He wasn't a blend-in Christian. He was a stand-up, stand-out Christian for the Lord. Because of that, they said, you know what? We don't like this Christian dude that is over us. And let's find something against him. Like, let's make up a story, you know, like he makes us do this or makes us do that. And yet the Bible says they couldn't find occasion against him. Though they thought they would try, they just couldn't. And I just want to tell you, if you're the type of person this morning that's honestly trying to live for the Lord where you work and in your family, don't be discouraged, my friend. The Bible is very clear that these trials do come. First Peter chapter 3 says it this way in your notes. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror. In other words, but and if, it's going to happen sometimes. People are going to dislike you because of what you believe. I think of William Wilberforce, to me, one of the most interesting men in history. a British parliamentarian. He was a man that knew John Newton as a child, and he heard Whitfield preach as a child. He knew about God. He was elected to Parliament at age 21, but he was not saved until around age 24. And some of you might remember the story, the book, or the movie about William Wilberforce, because he was a man back in the 1800s that came under great conviction that slavery was a sin. It was commonplace in his day. People of color were considered to be some kind of property. And Wilberforce, after he accepted Jesus as his Savior, he said, no, no, no. He said, my Bible says that every soul is precious to God. And Wilberforce began to fight slavery in the British Parliament. Not only was he a man that was involved in the Sunday School Society and the Foreign Bible Society, but his life's goal was the abolition of slavery. And after 15 years of being criticized by other politicians and being slandered and even being physically attacked, after 15 years, there was a vote in Parliament, and 283-16 was the vote, and slavery was abolished in Great Britain because of a man. Though he was attacked and though he was ridiculed, he kept standing for what is right, and God gave him the victory. And I want to encourage you, as you stand for Jesus, as you stand for truth, no matter what is said about you or done to you, that you keep on standing in the midst of your ungodly trials. And when you do stand, you're going to develop something that we call a testimony. How many of you guys and gals would like to have a good testimony, right? All right? You don't want them putting on your tombstone, a bum lies here. You know, this guy owes me money and whatever, you know. You know? It's like the guy that went to the preacher and he said, hey, preacher, I know my brother was a robber and he cussed and he was terrible, but, you know, could you just say something nice about him at his funeral? Could you just say that, he was a good guy? He said, if you do, I'll give you some money for the building program at the church. Well, the pastor wasn't dumb. He took the money. And at the funeral, he said, you know, he said, I just want to say that this guy was a good guy, although he was a robber and a thief, and he went right down through the line. You know, the fact of the matter is everybody wants something nice said about them, but we have to live the right way for that to be done. You see, sometimes God will allow a test in your life so that you can have a testimony. Sometimes he will allow a mess so that you can have a message. Sometimes God will bring certain things into our lives so that we have the opportunity to stand up for him. And the Bible says something amazing, and I want everybody to look at this in verse 4. The presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion or fault. Now just think of that. So they're looking at the guy. Okay, is he late to work? No. Is he flirting with women over there at the water fountain? No. Is he looking at bad stuff on the computer? Check his Facebook. No. It's all about God. It's all about take me back to Jerusalem. Come on, folks, use your imagination with me just a little bit, okay? They looked everywhere they could to find fault against him, and it says they could find nothing. How about you? I mean, if someone was really after you and they looked and looked and looked, what is it that they would find? And if there is an it, come and repent of it this morning. It's like the old Baptist preacher, J. Frank Norris. He stood up on a Sunday morning. He said, next Sunday I will preach a message about the three men in this church cheating on their wives. 17 men came for appointments that week. Please don't. What if someone really put the scope in on you like they did Daniel? The Bible says they couldn't find anything. How many of you would agree with me? This guy's got a great testimony. Are you with me on that one? I mean, what a testimony Daniel had. Daniel had a wonderful testimony. There was no fault found in him. He was faithful. And then I want you to see finally this jealous trap that they set. They said, we can't catch him on his testimony. He's clean. And so the Bible tells us, here in verse number 6, they assembled together to the king and they said to the king, King, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and counselors and the captains of council together. By the way, that was a lie. All the counselors had not gotten together. Daniel wasn't invited to that meeting, was he? But they said, all the counselors got together, verse 7. He says, now, verse 8, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth it. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. So you know the story. They said, we've all set this up, and we want you to pass this law by the law of the Medes and the Persians that nobody can pray to any god, Darius, except you, because you, King Darius, live forever, King Darius. You are worthy of prayer. No other god. And Darius is in a moment of like, oh, yeah, I'm not such a bad guy. All right, where do I sign, right? And he signs the law. It's now the law of the Medes and Persians. Well, Daniel has a choice to make. And I don't think it's far-fetched to think that there could be laws passed someday in our country that would discriminate against our faith. Like, don't pray for your lunch at a restaurant. Don't take a Bible to work. You know, whatever. These types of things. The law is passed, if you will. And I want you to notice, if you're taking notes, secondly, an earnest determination. I want you to see what Daniel does in verse 10. Everybody look at verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed. Let's read that part together. Ready, begin. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled down upon his knees there 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now notice, this man has a planned prayer. Daniel knew that this had been signed. I think we need to live like the apostles of old who said in Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than men, right? They said, sign the law that no one can pray except to Darius. Daniel sees the law. He does what he always had done since he was a little boy, as a child growing up, and all these 65 years in Babylon. He throws the windows open of his house, and he begins to pray to God, and he begins to call out to the Lord. And I just want to say, prayer is the difference between the best you can do and the best God can do. And Daniel wanted to see what God can do. And I just want to pause to say, don't ever be ashamed of God. And I know some of you might be newer Christians, but may I just challenge you? It's okay when you're at Denny's, or when you're at In-N-Out, or when you're at Taco Bell. It's okay to pray. Let's say that together. It's okay to pray. It's okay to be public. I don't mean obnoxious, but it's okay just to pause and say, Lord, we give you thanks for this food. Bless our family and use us today. In Jesus' name, amen. It's okay to be public about your faith in God. You say, well, we don't do that. Well, neither does my dog, Lucy. She just goes right in and starts eating. And that's how some of you are at dinner time, you know? I mean, mom can barely get down. And I know someone's going to tell me after the service, our dog does pray, Pastor Chapel. We taught him. All right. You say, are you making a mountain out of a molehill? No, I'm just trying to challenge you. Don't be ashamed of God. And that taco or that hamburger came from the Lord. So go ahead. It doesn't matter what people in Taco Bell. They need to see there's still Americans who believe in a God.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you visit or live in Southern California, we would love for you to be our guest at Lancaster Baptist Church, Sunday mornings at 8:30 or 11 o'clock. You can find out more about our times and locations when you visit lancasterbaptist.org. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chapel on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchapel.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years. And he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at allchapel.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.